It's that time of the week where we speak to the former Leeds United chairman, Ken Bates, and he joins me on the line now. How are you, KB?
Very well, thank you. Great. Driving anchor in the Caribbean sun.
Lovely. We're in the Leeds, just grey is the only way we could describe the weather here at the moment, so glad to see you're enjoying some...
It's been pretty muddy. I heard it yesterday, storms, wind and snow.
Yeah, this is true. It's getting better. It's improving. Still no sun, though.
I blame Corbyn.
So do I. We should kick off this week with David Haig. He was released from prison a few weeks ago now and back in the UK. And he's been giving some interviews and sent us a letter here at Radio Yorkshire as well. What have you made of David's comments to the media in the last day or so?
Well, I haven't heard everything he said. He did write to me, sent me a two-page email before he started speaking to the media, setting out the entire situation in not in some detail, but in outline. And I think it's an awful lot of stuff is going to come out over the next few months, in which fans will realise how they're all conned and swallowed what GFH told them, hook, line and sinker. There's Mr. Patel and Mr. Hisham. Without a doubt, the bank will be in existence if all these facts come out, as they will now that David Haig's back in England, and that's why they're trying to shut him up. I'll just read one little thing from his letter to me. And he said, I'll just read this bit. As you know, the plan was to silence me, comprehensively disable me, to beat me and break me. It didn't and never will. And that again, I have you to thank. See, I thought coming to an end in November 2015, I'd be appealed to the UAE Supreme Court to overturn the wrongful conviction. A day or two before I was due to leave Dubai, another case was filed by GFH, the sole intent of which was to keep me in jail, to ensure I suffered, stop me appealing, keep me silent, keep me disabled, they could secure false legal wins. This time they wrongly accused me of surrounding them on Twitter while I was in jail. I became, I believe, the first Brit in the world to be in jail for Twitter. I again found myself in a new location, this time in dreadful condition, and sleeping in a bed next to a young man, a died from TB, dead body having left in the corridor. So, evil, nasty, malicious and vindictive. And the only reason they wanted Leeds United because they had the false gold glittering funding of the Premiership billionaire millions, and they had TV billions, and they thought that would enable them to enhance their own bank, prop up their assets and increase their profit, improve their profit and loss account, which is dreadful. Of course, all went terribly wrong. When they went in, they didn't have the money to finance the club and caused an awful lot of trouble behind the scenes, while meanwhile doing a perfectly nice PR job to the fans, which the fans swallowed. Because GFH told the fans what they wanted to hear, not what they should have heard. It all come out. And it had to 700 days to use that place in hell. And now he's going to come back, tell the whole story. Totally exposed. And one big question asked, would you invest in Dubai? And the answer is no. But no, would you go to Dubai? No. It's pernicious. Total place is corrupt. From police to judiciary to lawmakers. Through the oppressors. But all is that in an end now. But this is not the, this is the beginning of the revelations. In due course, the world will know exactly how they brought Leeds to its knees after 4 years of successful, profitable operations, improved the ground, improved the academy, and all gone for naught. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, good luck to David. I'm sure plenty more revelations to come out in due course. On the pitch for Leeds United, a draw in midweek against QPR. One positive, the young goalkeeper, 19-year-old Bailey Peacock-Farrell, making his debut. But once again, KB, Leeds United season just petering out into nothingness.
We'll pop 1 point out of 9. We can give what was up to them being kind of nice one. But I really think that the club has to plan the future in a measured way going forward. But there's so many uncertainties around the club, including GFH's 25% stake in the club. I think the amount of leads is drifting. And will continue to do so to a number of matches being held. And I think that until that happens, until matches are resolved and start making steps again, Leeds will just be in the wilderness.
Yeah, Leeds, again, like you say, not much planning. We've actually had a question from a listener this week. Dan Crowther has written in on Twitter and he's asked, what are your thoughts, KB, on Massimo Cellino? He says, you call the fans morons who are protesting, yet it's clear that he's hurting the club. That's from Dan Crowther, a listener here at Radio Yorkshire. Can you answer that question for us?
What's my reaction to that? Well, first of all, thank you, Mr. Krause, for identifying yourself. So few people on Twitter do. But you say it's clear that National Energy is hurting the club. Is it clear? That's the first thing. You made an assertion, but didn't give any supporting evidence to back it up. But I think you really understand what I was saying earlier, that at the moment, he's in limbo. And Cellino, we don't know the terms of his contract agreement with GFH. But clearly, reading between the lines, so therefore I'm emphasising, I'm making an assumption. Cellino stated that, or David Hayer stated, you know, that Cellino wanted to buy the ground. But there's, and I'm guessing now, so I'm a bit out of date, but I assume the cost now is 17 or 18 million. And therefore, I understand that GFH are going to put up 25% of that money as their share to Cellino to complete the purchase. And GFH won't do it. I think it's pretty clear. The reason they won't do it, they haven't got the money. So don't forget, GFH originally said one of their first objects was to buy the ground. That was back in 2012. Now it's 2016. So if they bought the ground back, again, I'm a little bit out of date, but I'm guessing the rent that we're paying at the moment is probably $1.5 million a year now. Well, that's the equivalent of the gate procedure for three games. The other 23 of them just go and pay the rent. And you can see what a burden it is on the club. But if we GFH can come to the table, nothing Cellino can do. Now, the other problem we don't know, the other thing is that we don't know, excuse me, and there are the other clauses in the purchase or sale agreement, which may be limiting or hampering Massimo's attempts to do certain things or certain things right. There's no doubt that GFH overpaid in salaries. That's a heavy burden on the club's finances. But again, I think Matchmo's attitude is, if he puts in £3 in the club, he expects GFA to put a pound in. And it may well be that GFA are refusing to do so because they haven't got any money anyway. Then Matchmo will be thinking, well, why should I be giving them a free ride? They're supposed to be a multinational, international bank, money using out their ears. But they won't support an investment which they claim is worth a lot, cost a lot of money, is worth a lot of money. But the point I was making that when I called the fans, the so-called fans of Chelsea, morons, which says we know means stupid, the real problem we have is, what good does it do? What good does it do? Doesn't do any good at all. They come along, they hold their mock funerals, and they put their displays on the wall. De Massimo sees all this. Probably doesn't take too much notice anyway. But where's the inducement then to get cracking and revitalising the club? None. So once you had your shout and your ball and laugh and talk clever with yourself, you had a pint with your mates, the problem's still there. And more importantly, what's, Mr. Crowther, what's your solution? What are you going to do about it? I was at Leeds Fans United, called, led by Mr. Thwaites. Rest of them dead. And so at one time they had commitments up to £500,000. Well, you know, great, but it's a pedigree of what is needed for the United. So again, why should anybody else come in? Why would anybody else come in? And I understand that Steve Parkin has said he's supporting the club by sponsoring his stand, but he wouldn't put his money in and take an active role in running the club because of the abuse his kids could get at school. That's a very valid point. Because, you know, kids are very unforgiving and so cruel on occasions. And it's also happened at other clubs. And people won't put their money in or get high profile with a football club because of the consequent emotional damage to their family. And that comes from people chanting and behaving badly at matches. So, it's okay to be against something and be ready for change, but you have to be part of that change. You have to be prepared to put your money where your mouth is. But unfortunately, the biggest mouth and short his pockets. How much of lust ever put into their beloved, so-called beloved club? To my knowledge, not a penny. How much of these United Water Club put in? Well, in the 7-8 years I was there, no penny. But they always expect to be consulted, listened to, and reasoned with. With no backing. There's all I take, I'll buy my season ticket. Great, fantastic. How much of that season ticket, less of the VAT, how much is that contributing towards the total cost of running the club? Very little. So although Massimo would be doing the work running around, it is not him who's the problem, it's GFA. What you could all do, if you think Twitter's so much effective, start bombarding GFA with complaints and criticisms and questions. The one thing Arabs don't like is being questioned and having an armload on them. Patel spent more time talking to the telephone about how did his interview go, what did people think about him, actually doing any bloody work. So I'm afraid, Mr. Crowther, the problem is that you're aiming at the wrong target. If Massimo Serena walked away, which I'm sure he won't, if he did walk away, who would step in his place? How much money have Lush got? How much money have the Sporting Club got? How much money have all the Twitters got? What's more important? How much money have they had to put up? How much work have they had to put in? How much time have they had to give? Because it'd be unpaid, of course. Now, Leeds has a serious, deep-seated problem now, which has been created wholly by GFH. It destroyed the management structure, destroyed the morale, got rid of some very good people. In their place, they have an Italian who doesn't understand English law, doesn't understand English culture, and is learning the hard way. Meantime, every Tom, Dick and Harry parasite in the country has jumped on the bandwagon and taken money out of the United in fees, this, that and the other. And all they've done is contributed to the increasing mess. And by the way, do you know that just before GFH sold their shares, they put in a management fee of £3.5 million for managing Leeds United. The only reason they did it was to improve their profit and loss account at their year end, because they weren't showing any profits. They needed the £3.5 million to make the company look healthy. And they never meant expected to get the money back, just a bookkeeping transaction. But it is nevertheless now a valid debt. So, what I think, Mr. Crowther, what you should be doing, talking to your fellows, fans, and trying to work out some scheme in which you either support Massimo or you find the money to replace him. But just remember once again, because I've said again and again and again, when these silly chants and demonstrations take place, they are reported all over the world instantly. It doesn't do Leeds United's image any good. It doesn't do their reputation any good. And it doesn't encourage anybody to come in and invest. And the other thing, remember, you don't get instant success. The only way to a successful, sustainable football club is to build brick by brick, step by step, and plan for the long term. And if you do plan for the long term, it comes right eventually. I mean, Leeds United Academy is one of the best in the country. Done on the smell of an oily rag. Look at the boys who come through. So the Leeds have got the pick of the whole of Yorkshire. And they're the ones that we should be looking after. I wonder how much Sam Barnes is worth today. Not more than £2.5 million. So there you are. I hope I've answered the question fully, or at least tried. I hope more answered question. I hope I've given you food for thought and things for discussion. And that way, that is the way forward for Leeds United. Of course, you see now that Giuliano's son is in charge of the FA. Again, I don't know the exact circumstances. But must be very easy sitting in your ivory tower, commenting on the world and finding fault with other people's behaviour. But I'm talking about the FA here. But what about the person to whom Tino is responding to? Will he be banned from football? Should Twitter be made more responsible for of content that they allow their platform to be used for. These are serious questions. Wider than these. But this is relevant to these. We're moving on. Next point, Sam.
Yeah, a comprehensive answer for our listener, Dan Crowther there, KB. Next up, we should talk about FIFA. Well, the new head of world football, Gianni Infantino, to be a bit more precise. He's been caught up in a corruption scandal already. This is relating to documents revealed by the Panama Papers leak and a question his role in a deal when he was director of legal services at UEFA. What do you make of this story, KB?
Well, I mean, it's one that I've been talking about for years. It's going to run and run and run. I heard a new nickname for the former president of FIFA yesterday, Septic Bladder. Thought it was a nice name for the Sept Bladder. It sums him up, rather, I would have thought. But no, the place, the place stinks. It's rotten. It's ridden with corruption. The money's been skimmed off the top in a way that's normally done by these little African countries. We give them aid and the top people spend it on themselves instead of on their country. Now, this is a disgrace. It's going on for years. It's going to take a long time to find out what's happening because I think it's rotten through and through. And the more digging there is, the more people's name will come out. Hopefully, some will go to jail. In the meantime, they've got an instant self-preservation operating, and they will hamper, I think, the investigation where possible. I bet the paper shredders were over working overtime in Zurich.
And just finally, we should touch on Tata Steel as well. The business secretary has said Tata should agree a responsible sales process of its UK plants. This situation in general, KB, with the steel industry on its knees, how are you assessing how it's moving on?
Well, the thing is, we have to look back to Brexit and the referendum, which is creeping along to us now, 3 months away now. One of Osborne's wilder claims is that we're safer inside the EEC and they protect our industry. But under the, he also made a ridiculous claim about in the EEC had to save our fishing and farming industry. Before we entered the EEC, we had a first-class fishing industry and a very flourishing, profitable farming industry. No longer. And it's while we've been inside the EEC that we've completely destroyed and lost the coal industry, and we've also now lost the steel industry. So how does the EEC save us from that? And it's only at all. It should have put us in a surcharge on the Chinese steel a long time ago, but it hasn't. So now we'll finish up. We'll be buying our steel in to do any work at all. They'll be even more at the mercy of other countries. They've left it too late. They should have acted on the steel industry 15 years ago, and they haven't. And this is what we're having to pay for. Which is a great tragedy. So the sooner we vote yes, leave, vote for Brexit in the referendum, as soon as we start rebuilding this country, though. And one other little thing, we should take note of what happens in other parts of the world. We shouldn't give citizenship to foreigners who aren't become residents. But citizenship should be restricted to existing British citizens. Otherwise, we will soon be 20 or 30 years a minority in our own country. You don't find that in Arabia, Saudi Arabia. You don't find it in the Gulf. they're cute in some respects. Instinct of self-preservation, isn't it? I'm sorry for the British Steel industry. But both government, well, Tories have been in power, partly in coalition, 6 years now. But Blair was in charge, down, down, 13 years. Did nothing. All talk, all talk. Sad day. There you are. Meanwhile, let's move on to the rest of the week. And congratulations on getting your new contributor. Interesting what he said about BBC Radio Leeds, isn't it? And other local radio stations owned by the BBC. But again, you see, out here, or in recent months, I've been in South Africa and different islands in the Caribbean. And again, living in Monaco. What's the overseas, the BBC World Service? Now, people probably know the BBC are banned by charter, by their charter, from taking advertising. Once you go outside the UK, there's advertising in nearly every BBC programme. So how's that happened? Either the BBC are selling advertising in breach of their charter, or they are allowing their programmes to be sold for somebody else to make money on it. But again, that should be the breach of the contract. Particularly in the news programme. But there you are. Keep doing the good work. Keep going. And well done on a continuing basis to all the staff. And also, of course, last but not least, thanks to all the listeners and viewers, which are steadily increasing the scope and audience of Radio Yorkshire and TV Yorkshire.
Thank you very much. And Martin Kellner will be joining us next Thursday night, the 14th of April, 7 until 10 o'clock at night. His first show here on the station. We'll look forward to that. KB, thank you very much for your time.
That'll be online as well, won't it? That'll be online as well, digital.
Online, DAB, online at radioyorkshire.co.uk. You can also watch the show there online as well. And you can also listen via the TuneIn Radio app as well if you download that on your phone or tablet. So yeah, plenty of ways to listen or watch KB, and we shall look forward to Martin's first show on the station.
Well, good luck, congratulations, and good luck.
Thank you very much. Speak next week.